Okay, the plan today, Be'ezus Hashem, I hope we'll manage to do so, is to reach the two dots at the bottom of the page, about 10 lines from the bottom, upon which we will stop and we will do Chazorah from where we began at the beginning of Zman, although the first day of Zman, you remember we learned a very difficult sugya of Tkufo. We will not be doing Chazara of that, but we'll begin after that. Sugya, I think it's Daf Yud Gimel on the base. Okay, so let's finish off the sugya that we began last time. In fact, we began last week. We are trying to work out. We have a drosha in the Mishnah. We have a drosha in the Mishnah that says that just like the owner, whenever he needs to be
Whenever
killed.
he needs to be killed.
Why is there a very big echo? I know we said we need to do Chazara, but not immediately.
I was just going to say that
Okay, we'll try again.
Chazara. We're trying to turn you into Rav Pareda.
Well, I'll take 400 times, I So we had a drasha. It says just like the owner, whenever he is killed, needs to be judged by 23, so does his ox. In the case of the ox gored, Shayra Niskel, 23. So what we're trying to work out is how do you know that the pasuk is not literal? It says in the Torah, the gam ba'olav yumos, the owner should also die. Oh, Reb Nachum, good to see you. Welcome back. How are you doing, Nachum?
Ach Hashem, doing good.
We look the same.
Doing good. Thank you.
Baruch
I'll take that
Hashem.
as a compliment.
We only give compliments in this show. So, how do we know that when it says the gamba olav yumos, how do we know that's not literal? How do we know that's not literal? We have made a drosha from those words that it's not literal, and rather it means that just like the owner, 23 need to judge him, so too the ox. But how do you know it's not literal? So we've had so far, gosh, we've had two attempts. Should I clock
Well,
out and clock back in?
that's two, 398 to go.
I think I just had two attempts now. Okay, we'll try once more. If it goes again, maybe I'll just clock out and clock back in. So we've had two attempts so far, and the Gemara has refuted both suggestions. In other words, what's the question we're asking? How do we know it's not literal? Maybe indeed, when somebody's ox kills, just like the ox himself has to be stoned, maybe also the owner has to be killed. So have a look at the Gemara. The first word is about 12 lines from the top. The first word on the line is Lifroik, Lifroik, and the last word on the line is Chizkiah. Says the Gemara, Ela Omar Chizkiah. Rather, it's reported in the name of Chizkiah, V'chein Tana Debei Chizkiah, so too it was said in Omar Kra. We have a pasuk, and this is where it's learned from. The pasuk says, Mois Yumas Hamake Roitseach Hu. Okay, Rabbi Rom, I think I'm going to clock out and back in. We're just going to get into first.
I don't think it's you. I think it's Alex's computer somehow. I'm telling him to mute right now.
Okay. So the Torah writes, is Alex with us? I can't see him. Is he with us?
Yeah, he's there.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. I had to go to the room for a second. I'm back.
Okay, good to see you, Alex. Okay, wonderful to see a full house. So if it's your computer that's playing, I maybe just want to go on mute for a second, Alex. Okay, Baruch Hashem, a full house. Baruch Hashem, what a wonderful way to prepare for Shavuos. Baruch Hashem, it's good to see everybody. So the Torah writes that if an individual kills somebody else, he himself has to be killed. But the Lashon of the Pasuk is, Mois Yumos, he has to be put to death, Hamakeh. Roitseach Hu, he is a murderer. Now, why are those words being added? We know he's a murderer. It says quite clearly he's killed somebody else. So we make a drasha from those words. Al ratzichosoi. Atahor goi. You kill him for his own murder. Ve'i atahor goi al ratzichas shairai. But you do not kill him for the murder committed by his ox. And that's what the Torah is alluding to when it says those words, Reitzeach hu, who, when he's the murderer, then he needs to be killed. But when his property, the Shoir, is the murderer, then not. So that finally answers our question. When the Torah writes that V'gam ba'olov yumos, that the owner must be killed, that cannot be literal. How do I know it cannot be literal? Because I have a pasuk elsewhere in the Torah that writes absolutely clearly that he's only killed when he is the Reitzeach, not, however, when his Shoir is the Reitzeach. Fine. Says the Gemara, a very fascinating question now. Iboy Elohu. We have a question. Shoir Sinai Bekamo. What does that mean? Shoir Sinai Bekamo. Let's look at Rashi. Shoir Sinai Behema Shekorvo Lahar. So this is obviously very, very topical. Came to Matan Torah, as we know, nobody was allowed on the mountain. And if anybody did go up the mountain, they had to be killed. So it says there that neither a human being nor an animal were allowed on the mountain. And what happens if they did? They were killed. How many judges would you need for that? There is no such thing as a death sentence without having a Beis Din. So the Rashi says,
Wasn't Misa B'day Shemayim?
Went up the mountain, Ba'oid Shehashchino Shom, as long as the Shechino was there. The Ksiv, as it says quite clearly, Im Behema, Im Ish La Yichya, quote unquote. Both an animal and a human being should not live if they went up the mountain. Bekamo Dayonim Nidoin. So how many Dayonim would it take? In other words, it didn't drop dead. Rather, it was a death sentence that needed to be carried out. So presumably, therefore, there needs to be a panel of judges, of shoftim, of dayonim, to judge the case. Well, how many would you need? So the Gemara explains what the question really is. Says the Gemara, Shoir Sinai, the Shoir that went up Sinai, Bekamo, how many judges would you need? Mi, Gomar, Sho'o, Midoirois, Oiloi. What does Sho'o mean? Sho'o means, we sometimes translate the word Sho'o as an hour. It doesn't mean that, it's the time. This was something that was a one-time thing. The Issur to go up the mountain was a one-time thing. Never before, never after. As opposed to what we're discussing, and that's why the Gemara brings this in over here, L'doiros. The halacha of a shoyer haniskal, the shoyer who kills, that's not a one-time thing. That is halacha forevermore for doiros. Now, we know the halacha for doiros. For all generations, as we've just now discussed at great length, you need 23 dayonim. Would that necessarily, therefore, be the same for the non-doiros case, meaning the sho'o case? Would you derive one from the other? And would you say that just like L'doiros, you need 23 dayonim to pasken the halacha of a shoir, so to L'shoah, also the one-off case, oiloi, or perhaps not. Perhaps you cannot derive one from the other. Why? Because it's an exception to the rule. Yerub Larry.
I'm confused by the whole sugya because there was no matan, this is on the way to matan Torah, there were no dayonim, there was no Beis Din, there were no halachas, and they're trying to say, and I always thought it was Mis Debitei Shomayim.
That we mentioned before, you have to prepare the Gemara of Larry. Keep on going. Sorry. You'll see. It's all coming up. It's all coming up. So for this is the Shaila of the Gemara. Do you learn out Sho'o for Doiros? Sho'o from Doiros. Doiros, we definitely know what the Halach is. You need 23, as we just explained. You learn Sho'o from an Odom, Gamba, Olav Yumos, etc., etc. So what's the Halacha in this one-off, one-time case? Says the Gemara, Toshema. Come and listen. The Tony Romi Bar Yecheskel, Im Behema Im Ish, Lo Yichya. The Torah, when discussing Sinai, compares a behema to an ish. It doesn't say an animal should not survive, will not survive. It says, im behema, im ish. Either an animal or a human being will not survive if they go up the mountain. So there clearly is a comparison between man and beast. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, im behema, im ish, lo yichya, quote unquote, ma ish, b'chof gimel, just like a human being requires 23, af behema b'chof gimel as well. So now, this piece of Gemara is very difficult to understand. Why is it difficult to understand? Because the Gemara was asking a very valid question. What's the halacha of a human being, of an animal for a one-time issa? Do you derive it from the doirois or not? Maybe not. Maybe this is an exception. It's a one-time thing and the regular rules don't apply. So what was the Gemara's answer? Well, you compare the animal to a human being, because it's written in Behema im Adam, just like a human being needs 23 dayonim, so too a show. One second. How do you know that a human being needed 23 dayonim for going up Har Sinai? In the same way as you're discussing what's the halacha of a shoir, why is it all of a sudden so obvious that a person, a human being, needs 23? So if we compare a shoir to an Adam, obviously that means a shoir also needs 23. Why is it so obvious? So look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Ma ish b'chof gimel. Says Rashi, the ish, when it comes to a human being, there pshita long. There it is, poshut to us. Yes, it is obvious. Why? The kvar hukvu Yisrael Sanhedra ois. Because the Sanhedrin had already been established mi Yisroi ve'eleich. From the times of Yisroi and onwards. Now, this is a whole complicated discussion, which I don't really want to get involved with at the moment. But as we well know, there is a big machlokes. When did Yisroi arrive in Klal Yisroel? Did Yisroi arrive in Klal Yisroel after Matan Torah or prior to Matan Torah? It would appear from Rashi that Rashi is assuming that what?
It was before.
That Yisroi arrived prior to Matan Torah, chiddush number one. Chiddush number two is that when Yisroi set up the whole judicial system with all the Bezdin and the Sanhedrois, that was also prior to Matan Torah, which is a little bit tricky to understand. Because we would have perhaps suggested that even if he arrived prior to Matan Torah, but surely the whole story when he saw Moshe Rabbeinu judging everybody day and night, surely that took place after Matan Torah. Otherwise, what exactly was he judging them about? Rashi seems to be telling us a tremendous chiddush that Yisroi arrived prior to Matan Torah, set up the whole system of Bezdin prior to Matan Torah. So Botei Dinim were all long-standing and functioning judging human beings. So now we've got a question with regard to the animal. It's a bit of a chiddush. Tosfos discusses it. There is another question that needs to be asked on this sugya, and that is, it's not really the derech of the Gemara normally to discuss something that has no halachic ramifications. To put it bluntly, who in the world cares how many dayonim you needed for a shoir that went up to Sinai? I mean, it's not relevant anymore. Whatever happened has happened. The Gemara does not normally discuss shailas that have no relevance. Every shayla has relevance. What happened in the case of a shayla went up to Sinai? I don't know. It's happened already. It never happened before. never happened afterwards. Why is it being discussed? This is a question discussed in the Rishonim, but as mentioned, I really would like to try and move on if I want to finish this sugya. Okay, now if you look back into the Mishnah, we keep on referring to that base on the Aleph. Look back to that base on the Aleph now. The opening Mishnah, the first word on the line, it's about 8 wide lines. First word on the line is Hazev. Hazev, which is the wolf, Ha'ari, the lion, Hadoiv, the bear, Vahanemer, I think is the leopard, Vahabardalus, Rashi says it's some wild animal, Vahanochosh, and a snake. In all of those cases, Misosom, Be'estrim, Vishlesha. They too, presumably this means that if they kill a human being, they also need to be judged by 23. Until this point, we've only been talking about a case of a shor, because that's what the Torah talks about. But the Mishnah is telling you that the same too applies to other animals. However, Rabbi Eleza Omer, Kol HaKoidem Lohorgon Zocha. So if we literally translate, Kol HaKoidem Lohorgon Zocha sounds like whoever stands up to kill them, Zocha, he was Zocha. You don't need any 23, you don't need any Bezin. Anybody can just go up and kill this animal. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva, I know, Misasam, but Esther Mishlesha has got to be 23. So it's not entirely clear what was Rabbi Eleza referring to. When Rabbi Eleza says, Kol HaKoidem, anybody who wants to get up, preempt everybody else, you do not need the mandate of Bezdin, rather you can just go and kill the animals. What's the case? What's he holding? What's the discussion over here? So look at our Gemara. This is exactly what our Gemara is going to discuss.
Isn't there a big difference between the shor that you hire to do work in your fields and you don't watch it properly?
Discussed in the Gemara, Rabbi Larry.
Okay, sorry.
Says the Gemara, Ho'azev. Ho'ariv Ho'azev. Oma Resh Lakish. We are trying to explain what was Rabbi Eleza's opinion. The Tanna Kamma said you've got to have 23. Larry's asking, what's the chiddush? But Rabbi Eleza disagrees. And Rabbi Eleza says, whoever wants to kill them can kill them, which really should answer Larry's question, therefore. If Rabbi Eleza held that you don't need 23, then those who say that you do need 23 are clearly telling you a chiddush. It's not so obvious. Rabbi Eleza disagrees. But what did Rabbi Eleza mean when he disagrees? Rabbi Eleza says, Kol HaKoidem Zocha, whoever kills them can kill them. What was he talking about? Rabbi Eleza says, whoever goes and kills an Ari can do so. What's he talking about? What's the case? So we have a machloikus, Rabbi Yisai, between Resh Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. How to understand Rabbi Eleza's opinion. Says the Heilige Gemara. Omer Resh Lakish v'hu shehei misoin. When Rabbi Eleza said that anybody who wants to kill these animals can do so, he means on condition that these animals killed. Not that you can just go up to a lion and just kill him for no obvious reason. Only in the event that the lion killed. If the lion did not kill, then you cannot go and kill the lion. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about a lion who happens to be somebody's pet lion. In all of the Mishnah, we're talking about an owner who has a shor, who has a lion, who has a zev. All of these animals, and the animal went out and killed somebody. So now, Reuven owns a pet lion. And this lion, says Rabbi Eleazar, Kol HaKoidem Zocha, whoever wants to kill him can kill him. What does he mean? So Resh Lakish says it means you can kill him if the lion killed. But if the lion did not kill, then Reuven, who owns the lion, it belongs to Reuven, and Shimon has absolutely no business killing the lion. Why is that a chiddush? We'll see in a moment. Says the Gemara, Omer Esh Lakish Vehu Shehem Misai. That's only talking about the case where the lion actually committed a murder. But if the lion did not kill anybody, then you cannot kill him. Oh, that's a big chiddush. You know why? Alma. You see that Kosova, he must hold Yesh Lohen Tarbus. What is Tarbus? How did the Art Scroll translate Tarbus? They can be trained.
Owner. Owner, I think.
No, that's the next line.
Oh, sorry. Tarbus. Tamed. Can be tamed.
Right. They can be tamed. The Yesh Lohem Bailim, and therefore
their
owners really do own them. As opposed to what? Look at the next line. Rabbi Yochanan Omar that no, Afal Pisha Lohem Yisai. Rabbi Yochanan understands a tremendous chiddush that when Rabbi Elazar said that you can go and kill a lion without any bezdin, it means even if the lion didn't kill anybody. How so? How can you possibly do that? Reuven has just paid $1 million to own a lion. How can you just go and kill the lion? And the answer is, says the Gemara, Alma, clearly he must hold Kosova. Ein lohem tarbus ve'ein lohem bailim. We consider these animals as non-controllable. They cannot be tamed, and therefore we deem them hefka. They are ownerless. So therefore, we have a big discussion. What did Rabbi Elazar mean? We know what the Tanakhama meant. The Tanakhama said you've got to have 23 dayonim. So clearly, what's he talking about? Obviously, in the event that the animal killed. When Rabbi Elazar turned round and said, no, anybody can kill them. You don't need 23. Is he referring back to the case of the Tanakhama, meaning when the animal killed? Or no? The animal is hefka anyway, and you can kill him even if the animal didn't kill. That's the machloikas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Look quickly at Rashi. Omar Rish Lakish, Hod Omar Rabbi Elazar kol hakodem lo horgon zocha, quote unquote, v'hu shehim isai. That's only if he actually committed a murder, this animal. Nefesh, only if he killed a human being, va'amilsa the Tanakhama, and it's referring back to the case of the Tanakhama, da'iri kashehimi. So the Tanakhama is clearly talking about when the animal killed, and that's why I need 23 dayonim. Ka'i Rabbi Elazar, that's what Rabbi Elazar is referring to. Yesh lohem tarbus mutar legadlo. You're allowed to train, you're allowed to own these animals because they are tameable. Lefisha Odom, Yochil Lelamdon, a person can train them, Shaloi Yaziku. And if that's the case, you're allowed to own a pet lion, Hilkoch, Shame, Bailim, Nikra Alehem. Veloy Havka. Therefore, they're really considered to be owned by the Bailim. It's not considered to be Havka, but also Lahorgon. And you can't just go stam and kill the animal in Loihemisi. If it did kill, that's a different thing. Obviously, it turned out that it was non-trainable. Aval imhe misam, if this lion went out on a rampage and killed, soifon meichiach al tchiloson, then the end clearly shows what happened at the beginning. In other words, it turned out you thought this lion was tameable. It wasn't. Shaloi elu b'nei tarbus. But clearly, this was not a ben tarbus, meaning it was not able to be tamed. And you do not need to judge him, you can just go and kill it. But Rabbi Yochanan Amar that no, afal pi shaloyem yisay. Even in that case, Omer Rabbi Elazar kol hakodem la'horgon zocha, v'hochi kam alei l'tanakama. The ka'omrat, you said, kishehem yisay, tzorki, tzrichi chav gimel dayonim. You, Rabbi Elazar, you, the Tanakama, says that when the animal killed, that's when you need 23 dayonim. Ani oimer, Rabbi Elazar says, I, however, say that no. Afilu loy hemisoy mutar lahorgoy kol hakodem. I hold, what do you mean? You're allowed to kill a lion, stam, because he's not owned by anybody. Kol shekeinim hemisoy, even more so if it killed. Why? Says Rashi, ve'ein lohem bailim, because I consider him to be ownerless. Kloimar, Ein Shem Habaylim Chal Aleihem. The owner is not considered to be the owner. V'loi Havu Ela Kehefka. And they're just considered to be Hefka Lafi Shaloi Hoyoloi Legadloin. He had no business in the beginning trying to tame this animal. So we have an enormous machloikas from Yechon of Elozer. Can you own a lion? Simple as that. According to one opinion, yes, you absolutely can. And therefore, in the event that it kills, so it's only then that you can go and kill it without a bezdin, but otherwise you have no business killing it. That's the opinion of Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you had no business taming the animal in the first place. A lion is not something that could be tamed. It's considered to be hefka. It's totally wild. Therefore, anybody can kill it. You don't need any bezdin. Anybody can come along, whether the lion does kill or doesn't kill, just like you can go and hunt in a forest, you can go and hunt your neighbor's lion. Do you know why? Because it doesn't belong to your neighbor at all. Says the Gemara, let's try, we're going to run out of time. Says the Gemara, if that's the machlekes, Tanan, but it said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eleza Oimer kol hakoidem lahorgon zocho. Those words, zocho. That is a quote, unquote. The Lashon Rabbi Eleza used was, anybody who wants to go up and kill this lion, zocha. Now, what does that mean, he's zocha? Zocha in what?
Is the machlokas whether they can own it or just tame it?
It's the same thing. If you hold it cannot be tamed, then it cannot be owned. It's hefka.
I don't tame my fish, but I have a fish tank. Like you can own it.
Because they're not liable to commit hezek, but something which is liable to commit damage is considered ownerless. It's uncontrollable. Something that's uncontrollable, by definition, ownership means it's under my control. Something which is uncontrollable cannot be owned. So a fish doesn't need to be tamed, and therefore, by definition, it's under your control. But a lion, if you hold that it's uncontrollable, well, then it can't be under your control. So even if you pay
a zoo has a lion. They own it, but it's not tameable.
That's machlokes.
No, but I don't think the zoo claims that the lions are tame. They're in a cage.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to run out of time. Most of the lions that you see in zoos, by the way, are totally drugged. And it's not their natural habitat. That's not what we're talking about. Either way, so we have in the Mishnah, it says, Kol HaKodem LaHorgon Zocho. Now, how are we going to translate that word Zocho? Very strange phrase. Anybody who wants to go and kill the lion, Zocho. What's he Zocho in exactly? Zocho normally means he has gained. It's a Zochus, it's a merit, either spiritual or physical. What Zochus have you got? Says the Gemara. According to Rabbi Yochanan, which was the second opinion, Rabbi Yochanan said you are allowed to kill the neighbor's lion unprovoked, whether he killed or didn't kill, you can go and kill it. Now, if I kill the lion, what am I going to do with the lion now? The answer is you've been zoicha. In what? Says Rashi, zoicha le'oiron, in the skin. You can't eat the lion, obviously, it's non-kosher, but you can take the skin, for example, and I use it to make a coat. So that's what it means, zoicha. Anybody who wants to go and kill the lion, you are zoicha. You have absolute permission and rights and merit, the word zoicha, to take the skin. Hello, Rish Lakish. But according to Rish Lakish, remember, what did Rish Lakish say? Rish Lakish said that this animal is owned and it can be tamed. And you cannot kill it stum. You can only kill it in the event that what? That the animal itself kills. Now, do we all agree that if we consider this animal as being owned by the neighbor, well, then it really is exactly the same as a shoyr, for example. And essentially, when it kills, it needs a bezdin. So if Rabbi Eleza is telling me that what? That I can go and kill it even without the Bezdin, that's another way of saying that I, as it were, am in place of the Bezdin. So look at the Gemara. What does it mean? What exactly were you zeicha to? Given Shehem Misoi, seeing as this lion has gone and committed a murder, Shavinu Rabbonon, the Rabbonon consider Keman de Gomar Dinayu. It's as if there's been a Gmar Din, there's been a Psak Din, that this animal needs to be killed. Remember, it's not Hefka. So you can't just go out killing it, do what you like. But when it committed a murder, then it needs to be killed. So it's as if there's a Gmar Din. Now, what's the halacha? For example, go back to the previous case. We had a case of a Shoira Niskal. A Shoira Niskal, an animal that gored, is killed by Beis Din 23. The halacha is that once that Shoira is stoned, it's Osur Bahano'o. An animal that's killed by Beis Din is Osur to have any benefit from. So if that's the case, even according to Rabbi Lezu, who says that you're allowed to go and kill the animal, but you're in place of Beis Din because the animal essentially was property of its owner. So if that's the case, when you go and shoot this animal dead, the animal is osa bahano. So you cannot take the skin. So what does it mean, Zocho? The isure hano ninu. And it is osa bahano. So if that's the case, my zochos. What exactly were you zoichin? Can't take the skin. The answer is zochol hashomayim. You look at Rashi. Rashi says two words: tzedakah asa. Zoicha doesn't mean in a physical sense; it means in a spiritual sense. You have been zoichel hashomayim means you've done tzedakah. What tzedakah have you done? Well, by killing this dangerous lion, you've done a great act of chesed to society. And that's what it means. Rabbi Lezer says, I don't need a Beis Din to go and kill it. Anybody who wants to kill it, Zoicha, he can be Zoicha in the mitzvah of getting rid of this dangerous lion from society. Says the Gemara in conclusion, Tanya Kavase de Rish Lakish. We actually have a brisa that seems to support Rish Lakish, which is that you can only kill the animal in the event that it kills. How do I know? What does it say in the brisa? Echod shoir shehemis, whether you're dealing with an ox that kills, the echod behemo, the chayo shehemisoi, or any type of animal or any type of wild animal shehemisoi that killed, b'chof gimel you need 23 dayonim. Rebbe Lezer oimer shoir shehemis be'esrim v'shloisha. If it's an ox is not a wild animal. Therefore, that really does need 23 dayonim. V'shar behema v'chayo shehei misoi kol hakoidem lahorgon zocha behem l'shomayim. Anybody who wants to go and kill them, zocha behem l'shomayim. So what do I see in this brisa? Absolutely, like Rish Lakish, that you can only go and kill if it is shehei misoi. You can't just go and kill it. And the Brisa clearly spells out that what does it mean, Zocha? Zocha means Zocha Lashomayim, but not Zocha in the skin. You can't take the skin because you are essentially are in place of the Beis Din. If the animal is considered to be totally Hefka, so it doesn't need any Beis Din. Just like you can go into the forest and hunt down a lion, you don't need a Beis Din for that. So too, if this animal is non-owned, you don't need a Beis Din. But if it is owned, in theory, you need a Beis Din. Rabbi Lozer is being mechadish. You can be in place of the Beis Din. But then the animal is osa bahano. So what does it mean? Zocha? It means zocha lashomayim. Okay, we have to hold it over here. As I mentioned, tomorrow, Be'ezus Hashem, there will not be a shir. Wednesday, I hope there will be. If not, then maybe we'll try and reschedule for Thursday. Either way, we're going to go back now to Daf Yud Gimel on the base of at least 2 daf of Chazara, if not a little bit more, and I think this is an appropriate time to do so. Okay, be well, everybody. Have a wonderful day.